What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
So, do you remember way back? Well, let's talk about our kids. Let's do it that way. So, if you consider how our kids look at TV, it's, you know, we call it screen time now because it's not just TV. It's tablets right. and phones and, you know,
yeah, every lots other of device. Screens.
Right. So, despite all of that screen time, let's take Henry for example. Do you think Henry knows what an infomercial is? I mean, he's actually seen one.
Yeah, I do actually. He saw one at my mom's house for some like Brazilian butt dance where you could do this dance. I know, and like get a big juicy butt, basically, is what it was. And they once in a while they'll bust out fun. And start doing the dance. Yeah, so he does. Yeah. He does know, but I don't think he's got a lot of experience with them.
Yeah, well, and you know the fact that I don't think that generation, you know, 18 would watch a half an hour of something like that anyway.
No. They're more soundbite. Now with all the availability of like avoiding commercials these days.
Yeah, right. And you know they. Even if he knows what one is and recognizes that it's a half-hour format, he probably doesn't remember the very first ones.
Right.
So do you remember the very first ones?
Oh, yeah. Like ShamWow, that one.
ShamWow.
I know. Or, oh, yeah, like I wanted some Ginsu knives so bad back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, so if you... So if you lived through the 80s and 90s and even into the 2000s, you know, you're going to remember things like the George Foreman grill and the shake weight.
Oh my gosh, that was a Kristen source Wick. Of so much comedy. Oh,
it was so funny. Oh. OxyClean with Billy Mays.
Right.
And who can forget the Thighmaster with Suzanne Summers, right?
Yeah, my mom had one of those. She had a Thighmaster.
Okay, so all of these products have something in common. What do you think that is?
That they're pitched by wackadoos on late night TV.
Okay, there's two things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. But from a brand perspective, because Amy, this is a brand podcast.
Right.
So there are examples of products that formerly didn't have a special name that the owners of these products gave them a special name, and even more than that, gave them full identities and created a brand around these products. And it kind of elevated them to a whole different level. It elevated them to a place where they were worthy of a half an hour infomercial, right?
Right.
So this idea of creating a brand around a product that is in a group that no one ever thought of doing that before.
Right.
We can thank our friend Ron Popeil for the creation and invention of the infomercial way back in the late 70s.
Right. Thanks, Ron.
So, yay, thanks, Ron.
So, Kevin, are you saying that everyone should create an infomercial then for their product?
No, that's not quite what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I am saying is even after almost half a century of these listening to these infomercials and specifically those products, they stick in our mind, right? You know, that I didn't... When was the last time you actually saw or heard of a Thighmaster, right?
Ooh,
you know,
like just today. I was today years old when you said
it. Are you serious?
2 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, just 2 minutes ago. Okay.
That was the last time.
Right.
No, but, I had been years.
Years. And yet, it's like, you know, can you name an exercise product that exercises your thighs like the Thighmaster?
No,
of course not.
Right.
So the issue is that they weren't just given an identity, they were given a brand as well. And they that act of doing that separated them from their competitors and cemented those products in our minds. And isn't that what we all want? We want to be able to differentiate. We want to cement these things into our heads, right?
Yeah. So you're suggesting that if a company has a product or service where the industry describes it generically, there could be a branding and marketing opportunity?
Hmm? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. So, for example, let's see. It used to be that a grill was a grill, right?
Yeah.
You know, right? And then you obviously are probably already thinking about the product I'm going to about ready to say, right?
Yeah.
George Foreman's
Foreman. Grill. Of course.
George Foreman, right. Yeah. So, you know, he went from boxer to pitch man, and he started introducing the George Foreman grill. Now, I don't know if that was related to Ron Popeil or if that was a standalone thing. Doesn't really matter because we all know it as the George Foreman grill, right?
Yeah.
So can you think of any other grill either before that or after that that has a unique name and identity and brand?
Well, there's the Weber grill, but there's also that Green Egg grill.
Oh,
which
yeah, the Green Egg. Yeah.
I'm not really sure exactly what the deal with that is, but it definitely doesn't have the traction and does not stick in your mind like the George Foreman did.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, well, since we're talking about grilling, another thing, when you said Green Egg, I think that was kind of like a combination smoker thing, right?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, there is a fascinating story. In fact, we'll actually go out of our way to put links to it in the show notes. I have to dig that up. But the story of Kingsford Charcoal is really, really fascinating. Do you know anything about this?
Or no.
Okay, so the Ford Motor Company was generating so much heat from smoke. They needed lots of wood, and in the process they contacted a company up in, I think it was in northern Michigan, up in like Iron Mountain, up in the Upper Peninsula. But the person who the chemist that he contacted already had a process of making the little briquettes out of like compressed wood and for fuel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were generating so much because of the automotive manufacturing process. He said, wow, we'll just kind of spin this off as a separate company. So it started by the Ford Motor Company, and it was because of the making of cars that they generated all this extra charcoal and basically invented the backyard barbecue idea.
Huh.
So,
yeah, that's
that started
so
here.
Cool.
Started here in Michigan, yeah. So we'll dig up a link to, I'm sure there's something on Wikipedia or something like that.
Yeah.
So how about you, Amy? Can you think of any other products that have been given a unique name? You know, like that's where they didn't before or something like that?
Well, since you mentioned the auto industry and cars...
Yeah.
It's kind of standard for a new car to be given a name, right? They come up with lots of new names. There's some names that I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, some are successful, some are not. But, I mean, who has not fallen in love at some point in their life with a Ford Mustang? Yeah. I mean, it's such a cool car, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, so that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
You know, Ford Mustang... You know, as soon as you say that, there's, depending on your relationship with that car, you know, whether you own one, whether you had friends with one, there's just a whole lot of nostalgia and memories and the history of it, you know, to the automotive industry. It's a big, big deal, right?
Yeah.
But there are, I think there's a lot of fails there too, don't you think, in the automotive industry? Yes. So remember our Chevy Nova example?
Oh, yeah, right? That's a fail.
Yeah, where it says no go in Spanish. So,
yeah,
that's not
so
not
funny. Yeah, but worse than that is a way too common practice. Just people, I don't know, they're giving their car a name of jumbled letters and numbers, like the E350 or the F150 or the A4 or the CTS. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't have a very good memory for stuff like that. So
yeah.
And then I get really confused on the different, like the SE or the SS or the C. I think it's like SS is super sport and C is compact or coupe or whatever. And I don't know those. I mean, I know like car people really understand the differences between all that, but I just don't. And like, my daughter has a vintage Jaguar, and she's always like, yeah, it's a it's a JAG 6 blah, 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 blah. And I can never remember what it is because it's a bunch of numbers and letters.
There it is. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's easy to remember the Dodge Rambler than SXL 3000 or whatever the combo is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So that's what we're talking about, is coming up with a unique name. So yeah, I think the automotive industry is a great example. So my favorite, and I actually just discovered this recently. We talked about it a little bit. So let's say you've got a product that is just simply outwardly, it's offensive to a lot of people. Something like cow manure.
How do you make that sexy?
Yeah. Oh. So now, to be clear, cow manure as a product is hugely important to the world of agriculture. Huge, right. Huge, hugely important, right? But if you're trying to sell cow manure, how can you differentiate your cow manure from all the rest? I mean, poop's poop, right?
Poop's poop. All
right. So introducing Dairy Do. Now, we're driving driving just a little east of our town here, and I saw a sign for Dairy Do, and I'd never heard of it. You know, what the heck? Is that what it obviously is in the name, Dairy Do, cow manure? And my wife had heard of it before, and she was saying how her new connections with local agricultural and horticulture people here, because we're kind of working on our gardens and stuff. She had heard of it before, and her friends have heard of it, and they're like all over it. I had never heard of this before. Dairy Do. So it's an all-organic, sustainable composting material. It's for both home and agribusiness, and has a cute little cow in the logo. It's really cool. They have their own website. It's like, okay, now, from a branding perspective, we got to do something around this, because this is just an awesome product
idea. Right.
You know, the site's not super refined, but it's an awesome idea, right? So everybody wants a little bit of Dairy Do, but who wants cow manure?
Right. You know, when you first said Dairy Do, I immediately, what came to my mind was like a little corner ice cream shop.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Dairy, yeah. I guess. That's where my mind first goes to ice cream, not poop. But hey, it works, and it's definitely...
It works. It's not poop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's super fun the way that they've done it. I would definitely put it in the bucket of jester archetype.
Right? Sure. I mean, fun, I don't know if I'd use the word fun, but I see it. I see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So... let's talk about how we can actually use this idea. Let's brainstorm some possible industries and ideas, right? So okay. I'll let you go first.
Okay. First thing we have to do, let's come up with an industry, a space where people use generic names. You know, like the first one that, when we first started talking about this episode, the first one that popped into my head was lawnmowers. Because I don't know why, I use lawnmowers as an example of products all the time. So that popped into my head and did a little research. And not surprisingly, I found the vast majority are not given names, just like I thought, right? So companies like Toro and Craftsman and Black & Decker and Kawasaki, and right? If I ask you to name their lawnmowers, you probably can't even give me the number, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, right? So I did find one company called Schiller Lawnmower Company, and they have names for theirs like the Mantis and the Little Wonder and the Bobcat. I'm like, okay, someone who gets it, right?
The Little Wonder,
yeah, or the Mantis. You know, that's got some...
That is kind of cool,
yeah. It's kind of cool, right? Now, I'd never heard of them before, so they need some marketing traction, but from a brand perspective, they're doing what we're talking about here.
Right.
So let's come up with, let's try to come up with a name or two. So
for a lawnmower?
For a lawnmower. Mm, yeah. How about the grass guzzler?
Nice. Oh, I like it.
Or the barber. The barber. It's trimming your lawn. Right. So of course, yeah. I'm going to come up with gestury kind of fun names like those. But you get the idea. So if you're a new lawnmower company, you're pitching the grass guzzler. And then also, here's another little point. Of all of those infomercial products, like the George Foreman grill or, you know, the Ginsu knives that you're talking about, it's not like they were really different than their other products, but they take an attribute of the product and they kind of twisted it into make it seem like it is something super, super special. Like the Ginsu knives were supposed to be ultra, ultra sharp. You can cut through tin cans and chop trees down and stuff like that. So,
cut your finger off.
That's right, right? So the idea behind creating a brand for a lawnmower, calling it the grass guzzler, you know, you don't obviously want to talk about its fuel efficiency because that might be a negative thing.
Right.
But, you know, you pick some aspect of the product and turn it into something special as a part of this new brand development, right?
Yeah. I mean, so just to recap here, I think what you're saying is to not just come up with a name for your product or service, but to come up with the whole fully fleshed out brand, right?
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
The specific product, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the whole concept behind that goes back to that whole episode we did about even naming your business as a whole. It's got to be rememberable, catchy,
yeah.
You know, relatable,
yeah, that's right.
Something that's going to stick in your mind. So
that's right.
Yeah. So let's list out some things that we need to be considered. First, the name, of course, when doing this.
But before that, let's suggest the obvious. Listeners should go to brandarchetypes.com, take the questionnaire, and go through the very short, easy, and free process of going through the archetype definition and coming up with your own archetype, right? You have to come up with the archetype first before you come up with the name.
That's true. And what you're saying is even if you have your company name, and an archetype for your company, we're talking about like doing this process for a specific product or service that could be a different archetype than your overall company archetype, correct?
It could be. I think a lot of people, unless they're really skilled and are comfortable with going there, it's super easy just to go with the same archetype as your company,
yeah,
if you've already got one.
Right.
Right? So
right.
If you've already got your archetype, then run. Right.
Right? Gotcha.
That's the easy way.
Okay.
But if you've never done archetypes before, definitely do the archetype before you start trying to come up with a name.
Okay. So you've got your archetype, then you've got your product name, then what?
So I think that if you're going to try to create a brand like this, you have to have the kind of the marketing shtick, you know, that differentiation thing?
Right.
And it should be brand oriented, you know, it should be part of, you know, if I'm going to say my lawnmower is the best at something, you know, trimming or, you know, cutting a certain kind of fescue grass, or I don't, you know, I'm just making stuff up now, but then it's got to be within brand as well.
Right. Okay. Environmentally friendly, whatever.
Yeah. So that it's kind of, it really, what you're doing is you're kind of a point of differentiation, you know, like here's a good one. Ron Popeil's Pocket Fisherman, you know, not only did he have alliteration, the Popeil Pocket Fisherman, but he also had the differentiation that it fits in your pocket. It's this small little portable foldable fishing rod that you can take with you anywhere. You know, how many people had ever done that before?
Right.
So that truly was a differentiating point, not just kind of a fake. Like the George Foreman grill, I don't remember what his differentiation was. I'm sure there was one. I just can't think of it off the top of the head.
Well, I mean, I think it was the first ever kind of panini maker type grill, right? Where it's grilling on the top and the bottom, and you could literally throw a frozen hamburger patty on there and just psh and cook it, right? Like,
yeah.
It was just the way it cooked.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, let's not forget the tagline. A fully fleshed out brand is going to have a fully fleshed out identity, and the identity is going to have the name, the tagline, the fonts and the colors and the design elements,
right,
and all that stuff, right?
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah. So all of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this episode was not, you know, earth shaking, you know, mind bending in its revelations. But you know, Ron Popeil, I hope you're living life large right now. He's 86 and living in upstate New York with his wife and four kids. He's got four kids. So
nice.
Thanks for not just for inventing the infomercial, Ron, but for showing us how to create a brand for an individual product. It's not just slapping a name and a number on it and away you go. It's actually making it into a real living, breathing, you know, give it life, you know, differentiate it and make it memorable, right?
Yeah, I think that this is something that a lot of small to maybe mid-sized businesses don't often think about, creating brands for individual products and services. And I think that this is really important and quite a powerful tactic, especially if you're selling to niche markets.
And especially if you're selling a product like cow manure.
Yeah, something that's, you know, needs to have a little splash to it.
So, and if someone says, "Oh, I'm in a special industry. I've got a product that's completely different," and then, you know, you can't really do that. You know, because you get that a lot, of course,
right?
But if someone can package and give a highly targeted, focused jester brand to cow manure.
Right.
Then anybody can do this, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of power there. So, Amy, before I put on my Snuggie and my moon boots and go use my squatty potty.
Squatty potty, that's another good one.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a wrap up?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for joining us here at the Brand Archetypes Podcast. We may have perked up your interest, but we realize this is a really big idea and could get overwhelming really fast. So if you'd like a little help moving forward, feel free to give us a call. If you want to find out what your business or your product archetype is, go to brandarchetypes.com and take our free questionnaire up in the left-hand corner. That will get you started on your archetype journey. And we also have word lists. If you know what your archetype is and you'd like a little help with some words and phrases and pages of ideas, we've got those for sale for $29.95. And as always, please follow us on all the social media channels at Brand Archetypes. Have a great weekend, Kevin.
Okay, you too, Amy. Thanks.
All right, bye.
That was my two claps for the class.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.